So good afternoon, everybody. Again, welcome to the Sutra study class. Today we are on day 5, and we are moving to a new topic. The new topic is the Buddha's teaching on Buddhist social philosophy, and also it connects to Buddhist individual philosophy, and individual philosophy and social philosophy, they both go together. So basically it's Buddhist social philosophy. I have chosen several sutras, but out of which I believe we can cover most of, if not all, the Pathakamma Sutra, which is very much relevant to one's everyday life and one's social philosophy. So we will focus on the Pathakamma Sutra mostly today. Perhaps we will not have enough time to finish. So let's see how far we can go. Okay. So having said that, the Buddha taught this sutra to a person called Anathapindika. Anathapindika, the name itself means the person who serves others, who help others. Anathapindika. Anatha means helpless people. Pindika means giving food. Right. Anathapindika is the person who provides foods to the people who are helpless. I mean those who cannot eat, don't have food to eat. So this person, Anathapindika, is a very interesting person. And he was one of the Buddha's greatest supporters. And remember the Jetavanaram, right? Jetavanaram is the first monastery the Buddha accepted. So far, until the Buddha accepted this place, the monks lived in a, they did not have personal kind of a monastery kind of a thing. Right? So Buddha first accepted this monastery, not for himself, but for the community of the Mahasangha. So ever since Buddha accepted many such places, Jetavanarama is just not only a temple, it's a huge property, a beautiful property, and Anathapindika was the person who donated that. Right. So those days land value was also very high. We believe that they are very cheap those days, but you know, it was such a beautiful place that the owner said one has to spread the entire land with gold if I am to sell it. And he did that. And that's how he bought it. So such a valuable. This is like the downtown property in Houston. Something like that. So, Anathapindika was such a person. And he's an interesting person. Because on the one hand, he did a lot of business with the Western world. He is the person who established the world's first trade union. He had agents from all areas. He paid to them and he had collection centers in many parts of India. He got all those things and he collected and he sent them to Greece. Those days actually Greece was in dark age. The Athens was dark age. The first island that emerged from dark age is called Ionia. The Buddha mentioned that Ionia is the first tribe, just because of the Eastern influence. Ionia emerged as the first island. Then this wisdom went to inland, inside other Greeks. So all others, the Europe was in dark age those days. That is how this Western civilization actually really began from Ionia. This is rational thinking and everything came from India, of course. Hindu teachings, or Buddhist teaching like that. So they were developing nations, therefore they have huge demand for gold and silver, like precious metal. Therefore he collected them and he sent it, and here he supported society. And he supported the Buddha, he supported the people. Anathapindika, the name itself suggests that he feeds the people who are helpless. So the Buddha taught this particular teaching to that Anathapindika. So also you need to understand that society. Okay. So in general, people generally believe that the Buddha's teaching is a kind of a pessimistic teaching. A lot of people believe that. This anicca, dukkha, anatta, that is impermanence and there is no happiness in the material world, like that. These are some teachings, right? But this particular sutra shows that Buddha never discouraged people towards worldly success and worldly happiness. So instead of discouraging people, the Buddha actually encouraged them to live a very successful and very meaningful secular life. And of course, Buddha's disciples were like that. And he is one of them. There was another person called Upali. Okay, we have two Upali. One is Upali is a barber. Right? Remember the princess who wanted to be ordained. Okay, so Upali was the barber of those princes. But the other Upali was is a very successful business person in that society. So this other Upali also such a person. So many prominent business people were the Buddha's great supporters. Therefore, Buddha helped them, guided them. You know, what are the questions they asked? You know, even kings, right? And noble people. And the new emerging business community. They asked the Buddha all kinds of questions about their success in secular life. What should we do? What are the things we have to do for us to be successful? And the Buddha guided them. Buddha answered them. And that is how this is one of such sutras. So Buddha taught it to Anathapindika. Okay, the Buddha begins by saying, this is called Chattarome Gahapati Dhamma Itta Kanta Manapa Dullabha Lokasmi. There are four things hard to get in this world. There are four things that are difficult to get in this world. So what are those four things? Okay. One wishes, may wealth arise to me in a righteous manner. Boga me uppajjantu sahadamme nati. That's the term Buddha uses, is sahadammena, in the right way. Okay. Ayam patamo dhamma itto kanto manapo dullabho lokasmin. In this world, this is something. So the Buddha says, this is the first thing, that is desirable, agreeable, okay, but very difficult to get it. Itto kanto. Itto means you wish, you want it. So kanto means is beautiful, it's pleasant. Manapo is one likes, and dullabho, but very hard to get. Okay, so these are the four things, one of the things. What's the first thing then? Wealth. Okay. Wealth, but we remember that not just wealth, you are receiving wealth in whatever way you want to. Right? Perhaps we mentioned one day that in the aftermath of Harvey, right? Harvey. So the one gas service station raised the entire box of the water. The normal price was $3.99, right? But they raised it to $29.99. Okay. So that is that, not that way. So sahadammena, the word the Buddha uses, sahadammena. Sahadammena means a righteous way. Okay. So this shows that you can earn. You are qualified to earn as much as you can. But it should come in the righteous way. But in this sutra, Buddha does not discuss what this righteous way means. But on different occasions, Buddha discusses what this righteous way means. Okay. Now, for instance, there are certain kinds of sales that you should not do in your business. Can you remember those? You should not sell weapons, right? And you should not sell poison. And you should not sell animals. And you should not sell
alcohol.
And the other one is humans, slaves, people. People should not sell people. So that happened those days. Okay. Right, these are the five things. Yeah. And you should not do all these kinds of things, but at the same time, there are other criteria. There are more other criteria. Okay. On one occasion, Buddha says, that's beautiful, in different sutra, next day we will discuss that sutra. Okay. People should make profits in such a way that a bee gathers honey from a flower without harming that flower. It's a beautiful simile, beautiful analogy. Right?
It's not just harming, it's also helping.
Helping on the other hand, right, right. It's helping.
Yeah. See? They say to keep a bee on front of you.
So that is the first one. Sahadammena, that's the right word, okay, a righteous way. Okay. Okay, what's the second one? When one has gotten wealth in a just manner, then one wishes, may fame rituals comes to me as well as to my relatives and to my preceptors. Okay. So, with wealth, you comes your recognition. In other words, so this is a Pali term. Yeah, abhugacchoti sahajnati. Okay, so my good name. Okay, my good name may spread in the world. So, you know. Okay, but you know, you have to make sure that okay, your good name spreads in the world only when you earn your income in the righteous way. Otherwise, it's not your good name, right? I mean, remember drug addicts. Drug sellers, right? So they are. Their names spread. Their people know that, not in the righteous way. So that is the second one should desire. In other words, to establish yourself in society, your popularity. Buddha never asked the lay people to, okay, you do it, but at the same time, as a philanthropist, it is okay for people to know you as a philanthropist. In other words. Okay. In other words, Buddha did not mean that, oh, do anything secretly, don't let anybody know that. So, it is not here. Okay. But of course, you should not, on the other hand, right, you should not go all over everywhere and say, oh, I did this, see, recognize. Not that. But it's something like good name is important with your donations, with your wealth. So, he's a person who has earned a good name, like he's a well-known. So it can be beneficial too. Now, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, right? So they are examples. Right. Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. They are helping too. She's helping. Right. And that's a good name, your wealth. And you earn the wealth in the good way. So, yeah. So that is the next one. Okay, next one. You know, this all should go together. You know, some people earn wealth, but the people don't appreciate the way they earn wealth. Okay. And sometimes you earn the wealth in a good way, people appreciate, and the next point you don't have. What's the third one? When one has gotten wealth in a just manner and fame as righteous will come to one, to one's relatives and preceptors, then one wishes, may I live long, may I have longevity. Okay, this is a very, very crucial point. Okay. So the Pali word Buddha uses, okay, saha nyatihi saha upajjayehi chirang jivitva diga mandayung paletva diga Diga Maddayung Pale Miti. That means I live a long. Okay. If you are to live a long life, what should you have? Yeah. You have to have health. Right. So health is there too. Okay. If you are not healthy, you don't live a long life. Okay. So with my relatives and with my teachers. So during the Buddha's time, your best people, your best friends are your teachers and then your relatives. Okay. So another important thing is that the lay people should wish is that, okay, with the money I righteously earned and also I have established my good name in the world, now my next purpose is to live with my family members, and friends are also included, and with my teachers, a long and healthy life. This is a beautiful wish, but everybody does not acquire it. That's very true, right? Yeah. So it's very beautiful, and it's what are the words? The two words. Desirable, agreeable, but hard to get in the world. This is very true if you look at the rich people and wealthy people in today's society. Okay. So when they become wealthy, what happens is that one most important thing they ignore is their mental and physical well-being. No? They go to their offices and from the morning to evening, they are sitting. And they eat whatever junk food around, okay? They don't prepare their own food, they eat junk food, okay? And then they start gaining weight sometimes. And then all this junk food and with artificial food additives, all kind of things, what happens to them is all kinds of diseases, okay? I have seen that happen to people, you know? I have seen that happen to people that we know. With hard work, they earn money. You know, the one group of, so I have talked to them many times and they have understood. Okay. Some people, they are the young generation in Sri Lankan community, in 20s and 30s, a group of people who works in service stations, and they work hard and they earn money. They are very nice people, but nobody guides them properly. Okay. Nobody tells them how they should eat. You know, here, you know, you can eat with a single $1, right? You can eat your lunch with $1, right? But that is not the healthy way of eating. What these people do is that they work in the gas station and they gather whatever, they grab whatever available there, then start eating. And then what happens is that very soon, all kinds of start gaining weight, and very soon they become sick. I know the few people who have unusual, the joint pains, and they have diabetes and heart problems, like that kind of thing. So, you know, it's very hard to get. They should be properly guided. So, a lot of people do that. Okay, so, you know, they ignore that. Sometimes they ignore, and sometimes they do not have time to think about it. Their mind is occupied only in money making. Okay, so they ignore the most important thing. That's why Buddha said here, this is the third thing that is wished for, desirable, agreeable, but hard to get in the world.
I don't understand the two words, desirable and agreeable. Wish for desirable and agreeable, but hard to get in the world. Agreeable.
Yeah. Agreeable to a person, not to others, but it's agreeable to me. In other words, I like it. That's what it means.
Yeah, manapo,
correct. Itto kanto manapo. Okay, now come to the next point. Okay, next one. The first three are fulfilled, and you get the wealth in just manner, and your name is your fame has spread in the world, and you live with your relatives and friends with long life. And then one more thing, after death, with the bodies breaking up, may I be reborn in a heavenly world. Okay, so that is the next existence. These two words the Buddha always accepted. Either means this world. Pecha is the after death existence. Okay, in Buddhism, that you should have a balance here. For instance, see, now this shows that everything is not for the next world. Once you look at this sutra, you would see that this is more secular. The Buddha's teaching is more secular than most of the people believe. You know, in Sri Lanka, I always hear that the people are talking, okay, suffering, what is the use of this? Okay, forget about all the things and accumulate merits to be born in a better place after death. You know, this is a blatant distortion of the Buddha's teaching, you know, all the time. Different people interpret in different ways.
I think it's the rituals that make people think that.
Some people think like that. So that has become a tradition in Sri Lankan Buddhism, in a sense, you know. Truths are, we call it the social truths are invincible. Right? They have created such a truth in whatever way people have created such a truth, in which they believe that everything is impermanent, nothing to do here but accumulate merits for the next world.
That's all we think.
Yeah.
But I think when
I went to Sri Lanka, I gave 6 Dhamma talks. I think I mentioned I gave 6 Dhamma talks on TV. Okay,
yeah.
All of those Dhamma talks focused on the Buddha's teaching for this life.
So,
and
exactly.
In the correct, and also
I think depending on
so let us come to the second section. Now the first section is the focus in the first section is your secular success, in other words your, and also your physical well-being, your mental well-being, and your financial success, right? So after Buddha finished that, is interesting, so first Buddha talked about that, your material, your wealth, your success. And the audience, you know, Buddha always approached the audience in the right way, right? You have to analyze the audience. Today we learn that if you talk to people, first understand who the audience is. Okay, so Buddha knew this audience is Anathapindika, a business tycoon in that society. So Buddha talked to that person in the most appropriate way that is suitable to that person. And now Buddha comes to the second, and also there are 4 other things. The first 4 is your material, your success, and what is the other 4? There are 4 more things. They are called the 4 spiritual accomplishments. Chatunnan dhammanang dhamma. Okay, so there are 4, these 4 dhammas, these 4 spiritual sides. Okay, the one should have. In the same way, you have your wealth and you live with your relatives long time. You have your physical well-being and mental well-being, and you wish the better existence after death, and these are the 4 spiritual aspects. These are called, the first one is called, this Pali word is also here, Saddha Sampada. Second one, Sila Sampada, Chaga Sampada, and Panya Sampada. Panya Sampada. So, as a person, you need to have these 4 also. Okay. What does it mean? The accomplishment, first one is Saddha, the accomplishment of faith. This has been translated as faith, but I'm not sure whether that's a proper translation. Saddha, the word is Saddha. Okay. What is the Pali word for faith actually? That is not a Buddhist word. Faith is not a Buddhist word. The faith is a Hindu word. And the faith is the in Christianity and in Islam and other religions. But in Buddhism, we don't have faith.
We
okay.
Confidence.
Yes, Saddha is the respectful and confident acceptance. Right. That is Saddha. Okay. And it's a new word.
Is it the acceptance
So in this sutra, Buddha says, Saddha means your respectful acceptance of the Buddha as your guidance. But elsewhere, Buddha has said, Dhamma, Sangha, Ola, equal. So, you know these three words, right? Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Right. So, Buddha explains, discusses here what is this Saddha. Okay. So, what's the difference between Saddha and Bhakti? What is Bhakti actually? What's faith? In the Singhala Sutra, we discussed, okay, Ma Anusavena, Ma Paramparaya, traditional truth. Because this is in books, I take it as true. Okay, this is because my teacher is, I take it as true. In the Kalama Sutra. In the Kalama Sutra, you learned it. And Kalama and Chankya Sutra, so both of them have it. So that is bhakti. Okay. Unquestioningly accepting a certain person or a certain teaching as absolutely true. So that is bhakti. Okay. Now the Buddha did not ask you to take it like this, right? Remember, you must test my teaching in the same way the gold is tested by fire. Right? So you have to test. So that means respectful acceptance means, you know, once you know it, you feel a kind of an enormous respect for that teacher. This person said that, okay? This. Yes, contribute. This is a huge contribution to society for my own well-being. You respectfully accept it, right? That, with understanding, not blindness. Respectfully accepts. So Buddha never asked himself to be accepted blindly. Rather,
so
yes.
Most probably he meant
you have to have saddha. If you don't have saddha, you don't do it anything.
Not only with Buddhism, or I mean, in any teaching, right?
Any teaching, exactly.
Whatever the teaching it is, yeah. If it was cool, you have to have right. Respectful acceptance that the person
right.
Who's teaching it kind of
definitely, knows. Definitely.
Confidence. Yeah.
Watch, you know, the sports team, okay, they are so much committed, they are striving so hard because they have a lot of respect. They know that my coach can lead me, right?
Lead
me like that. So, lot of respect, they respect it, right? But the way that respect is interpreted here could be different, okay?
Because I think they're trying to, like, you know, when they translate it, that's just how I understand. Because in most other religions,
That's right. You know, now in Western society, the priests don't have that, don't earn that priest. Usually, the lay community do not show that kind of a respect like they do to Buddhist monks like that. Because in Western tradition, you believe that the only person I have that faith is God. The only divine power is God. And
that's faith, right?
That's faith. But in Buddhism, we have the three things, right? Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. So that is so all these relationships are based on a lot of respect.
Andrew, when you say, when we say Sangha, it's the wrong concept.
Some people, when they become too much rational, they lose Saddha. I have seen that in Sri Lankan community, that also has happened. Okay? They become too much rational. Right? Okay, they naturally, this saddha should come from your mind and your body. You must have it. Okay. So if you have it, so once you see the Buddha's statue, when you leave or something, you come home, then you bow down to the Buddha respectfully. You do that. If you don't do that, it means that you don't have saddha. So you don't bow down to the statue. Rather, when you bow down to the statue, you have visualized the Buddha's qualities. Right? You have, in one house I visited, right? There's a, I saw that inside. There is a place where. They put all this arak and all kinds of alcohol and all kinds of things. On the top of it, they have built a Buddha's statue. No, did you do that? No, I haven't seen that. But no, not you. I said. But somebody else. I said, so what is it? The top of the Buddha. Buddha asked you not to. Alcohol, but the top of the Buddha statue.
But the intention might have been, I mean, with no intention, bad intention, right? It could be that they had it because they want to see that.
Do you,
first, but I'm never even thinking about it.
Are you on the record now?
Yes. Right. I'm recording.
You better cut those out.
Maybe that family doesn't watch or see it, maybe. And so.
Because. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, the five...
It's open to...
five senses, that's what you said.
It's open to interpretation.
It's not if a dearest person. Right?
You know, sometimes even observing the five precepts for Sri Lankan Buddhists is a ritual, in a sense. So you, every day you... You say every day you say Musavad, right? You recite, I don't tell lies, but every day you tell lies.
No, we don't.
Not maybe, some of you at least.
I usually do is in the night.
Uh-huh.
I contemplate all day what I have done.
Right.
At least with I have been held by five precepts.
Very good. So that is
I
out.
Do that every night.
Ah, wonderful.
I look
that's
back
great.
And I look at.
I come to the next point, number two. It's sila. Already there, so we had already talked about sila, the five precepts. See, the accomplished. The second moral progress that one should always be mindful is that the first thing you have to have sadda, and the next you have to have sila. Sila sampada. Sila. But in this sutra, Buddha discusses the sila as the five. Here you have only five precepts. Okay. Yeah. The five precepts everybody knows, right? Yeah. Destruction of life is refraining from, and not taking what belongs to you. And the third one is, remember, also, a lot of people interpret in Sri Lanka it's as sexual misconduct. It can be sexual misconduct, of course. At the same time, it should be sensual misconduct. Right? Sensual misconduct. Okay. And the next one is musavada, the telling lies to take advantage. Okay. And the final is suramera. These all are open to interpretations. Now, for instance, musavada. Okay. You should not speak any kind of untruth at any time. But if you look at the Buddha's time, Buddha's experiences, what Buddha did also. One time, remember this Kisagotami? This Kisagotami came to the Buddha with the dead baby. Okay, she went from place to place. And she wanted, she was so attached to this baby that she asked, can you cure this baby? And she, doctor said, everybody said that this child is dead. But eventually, one wise person say, the best doctor is in the Jetavanaram, in the temple. You take this child to there. And she brought the child to the Buddha. And she talked to the Buddha. The first question she asked is, can this child be cured? So what's the answer Buddha gave?
Yes.
Yes.
He said, if you can.
Yeah.
If you can.
If you bring, conditional.
But we said, yes, but.
Yes, but.
Yeah, so
but you have to bring the mustard, handful of mustard seeds from a house where death has not taken place.
So he knew that he cannot kill.
He knew that.
But he had to give courage to her, but he didn't lie that time.
Not a lie, but he did not say.
Interpretation. No,
it's
the word we use.
It is a beneficial, that's why. You may refrain from speaking the truth if that is beneficial to the listener.
I don't agree on that either. When he said yes, he knew in his mind that there is no such place.
Right.
So he cannot say
I don't know whether he said yes. He must have said it's possible if
you
if you can find, right? If you can find myself.
Now he gave her a hope at least. That means that he did not, in the, you know. Now these are practical issues, you know.
That's a very good point.
Very good point. Now somebody comes here, we are here, okay? Somebody opens this door and comes here and says, oh, somebody is chasing after me with a gun and that person is going to kill me. Okay, so can I hide? So you would say, okay, come here, hide somewhere here. Okay, that person is coming after and open this door. Okay, did somebody come here? So I'm going to kill that person. Somebody come here?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah. What would you say? Oh, yeah. I observed the fireplace this morning. I have to tell the truth. Oh, yes, he's here hiding. You don't say that. But you would say, oh, I saw him running there. Okay, I saw him running this way. You say that.
Right. I do. Intention, right?
Okay, intention. That's right.
So when my wife says, does this dress make my butt look big? I go,
what? Say it again. I didn't follow you. I didn't follow you. What did you write?
Not relevant to him. He wouldn't know.
Oh, I didn't follow you.
You'd have to be
married. Marriage happens, right?
Say that.
Right.
Oh my
God.
Because the only thing, I don't know about this, he's not going to tell me stories. That's a good one. But there are two things. There was one question that I had was, is it okay sometimes with very good intention, you kind of do not want to disclose everything?
Yeah.
But just kind of, you still want to kind of manipulate this person in a way that it benefits them.
Yeah, as long as they're beneficial.
Right?
Beneficial. Intention and the consequence. Remember the two things the Buddha always has us to consider?
Right. So then I have this question because I'm like, you know, it's like
on one occasion Buddha said, even something is true, I don't speak that.
Yeah, that I cannot. Right.
Yeah, I don't speak of that. Something is true, right? So it's closely connected to this one.
That was the answer. But untruth is a lie.
Janapada Kalyani. Yeah. Something is untruth, it doesn't mean that it is a lie as long as you have good intention. But as far as you have evil, bad intention, so then it becomes a lie, taking advantage. And the last one is Suramerya, taking alcohol. Because Suramerya, Majja Pama Dattana, okay, that is again, you know, Majja Pama Dattana. Majja means, Suramerya means two kinds of liquors that they had during that time, Suramerya. Majja means your mental imbalance. Pama means your physical. When you're Majja Pama Dattana means you're physically and mentally imbalanced. Okay. I should not take alcohol, that would cause me physical and mental imbalance.
Or is it I should not take alcohol until it causes?
Is that very right? Say so, yes. It can. It's open. That's right. That's open to interpretations. So Pisunavacha is a malicious, it means that the words that people used to break relationships. It can be what I told you, you tell somebody else maybe. And also, you create some stories and you tell somebody. Okay, so people are working in an office, for instance. Okay, for instance, you work in a lawyer's office or something. Okay, one person says something else about the other person like that. You know, this secretary is this other. So that's what you call Pisunavacha. That's called Pisunavacha. Words that break relationships. I think this is a very important precept that we always, I do not speak any word that break the relationship of somebody or hurts the relationship of somebody. We don't have that here.
Oh,
I mean, it is beyond these five precepts. I'm just mentioning the other things. That's called Pisunavacha. The other word is Parusavacha. Parusavacha is a harsh, rough words. Buddha on one occasion said, sweet, nice words go through to the heart. The Buddha has mentioned that. And harsh words always bring negative results. Okay, you know, shouting, screaming, and anger, it doesn't work. Whether we talk to adults or we talk to children. Right. So the other one is sampappalapa, that means meaningless words, you know, continuous. There are six or seven kind of sampappalapa, which are altogether different. It's very interesting that how deep Buddha has gone into these topics. Sampappalapa means even the words spoken at the wrong time is a sampappalapa. Even a word, very trite word, is a sampappalapa. You know, for instance, somebody is crying, or somebody in my family got sick. You say that person, oh, don't cry, everybody gets sick. That's a sampappalapa. It's because it's a very trite expression, very boring, overused expression.
Right? It's not trying to achieve anything, right?
Yeah, don't achieve. You don't get anything. And the other one is final is called Michcha Ajiva Viramani Sikha. Padan Samadhyam is Samma Ajiva. When I live, I don't do these five kinds of businesses. Yeah? In other words, I don't hurt anybody in my business like that. So these are called Attamaka Sila. But in this sutra, Buddha has mentioned only five precepts, on Pancha Sila. But at other places, we have seen all this. Other silas also.
So how do you
enlightenment is a purification. If you continue to purify your minds, a loba, dosa and moha are gone, right? Loba, dosa and moha. When they are gone, it doesn't mean that your mind, your brain is blank. Rather, whenever bad things are gone, it's filled with loving kindness. Metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. So, development of love, compassion, kindness, very deep topic. So it's to yourself and to others, to all living beings, is the ultimate goal in a Buddhist life, Buddhist person's life. So that's the basic philosophy.
Yeah. That was a deep sentence.
Correct.
That's what Buddhism is based on.
That's based on. Yeah. The all other ethics are like everybody is equal. You should not kill animals. You should not tell lies. They all goes back, root back to that fundamental Buddhist teaching of loving kindness. Metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. Dana. Everything goes back. Okay, we come to the next point here. I don't know whether we have enough time to this panya. Right? You need a little bit more time to have panya. We all.
Let's
go through this one. Okay, so maybe we will not be able to finish the sutra, but let's see this last one. What is the accomplishment of wisdom? Now, four things, right? Okay, what are the three things we finished so far? As far as spiritual progress is concerned, saddha, faith, saddha, sila, chaga, as a person, and finally, this is the most important thing, is panya. Panya is called wisdom, and no. You know, the word no derives from jnana. You know it, right? Wisdom. This is panya. Here you have five characteristics of panya. Okay, what is panya? Okay, these are the four things. Okay, so when he dwells with a mind that is overcome by covetousness and rampant greed, the Pali word the Buddha uses here is abhijna. On different occasions, Buddha has used like kama raga, okay, kama raga, and abhijna. The abhijna has been translated as covetousness and rampant greed. Okay, if you have panya, in other words, you are free from the covetousness. Covetousness is also desire and greed, okay? Excessive desire, abhijna, kama raga. I mean, you are going to an extreme of what you like. That is it. And here particularly, things belonging to other people. You have to deal with that. In other words, okay, I should have what those other people have. It's something like that. It should be gone. In other words, excessive desire for materialistic possessions and excessive desire to gratify your senses. Yeah. Okay, that's called abhijna. Covetous and rampant greed. You know, this called also called, you know, it is your failure to live at present, appreciate your present. You know, people fail to appreciate what they have. Rather, they forget it and they try to grab something. Okay. Maybe some of you, it's a beautiful example. It's a kind of a short story. Maybe you can, when you go home, you can read that interesting short story. Its name is called The Necklace. Maybe some of you may have read it. It's Guy de Maupassant. It's a French writer. He wrote it in French. It has been translated into English. Its name is called The Necklace. It's a Madame Lozelle, is this character. It shows that, you know, when you fail to, it's a very highly philosophical kind of a thing. If you fail to appreciate your present and you always think about what you don't have instead of appreciating what you present, okay, you breed more and more problems. You are internally, you are not happy. So you don't have wisdom, in other words, here. Okay, rampant greed. The second one is what you call the five mental hindrances. First one is this one. Okay. When you have that, okay, you always fail. He does what should not be done, and he's made. Okay, so you don't know what to do. Okay. You cannot differentiate between the right thing you should do and what you should not do. Okay? Doing what is not to be done, failing in his task, he's deprived of fame and happiness. Okay, when you are motivated by greed. Second one is called ill will. This is called vyapada. You know, sometimes Buddha has used different words. Loba, dosa are also very much same. But there are slight differences. Vyapada. Vyapada means, you know, vyapada means wishing the failure of other people. Okay. The failure can be materialist failure or some success or whatever success. Maybe physical, mental well-being or something. You are wishing something. So that is, if somebody does it, that person does not have panya. Actually, having later on in the sutra, Buddha says one should have the opposite of these things. Actually, opposite of these.
These are hindrances.
Hindrances. Yeah, they are hindrances. Again, this is what happens. Next one, with the mind that is overcome by sloth and torpor. That means actually this is called abhijna, vyapada, thinamidda. Yeah, the term is called Tina Midda. Tina and Midda. Tina is translated here as torpor and Midda as, torpor and, where is it? That overcome a sloth. Sloth and torpor. Sloth is, what is sloth actually? Huh? Laziness. And torpor means postponement, means sloper. Or lack of energy. Right? You may take both words together and say procrastination, in other words.
Sometimes they say like the sleepiness too,
sleepiness also. Yeah. Yes,
learning fast.
That's right. Yeah. Sleeping all the time. From my viewpoint, that's vitamin D deficiency. Right. Anyway. mental. The third one is Thinamidda and sloth and torpor. And then the next one is restless and remorse. That is called Uddacha Kukkucha. Uddacha Kukkucha means restlessness. You know, the fish out of water. You are not settled in certain things. You know, that is a huge, huge barrier to one's spiritual progress as well as material success. Your mind is not settled. It's called agitated mind. Again, you know, sometimes in religion you are not agitated. You have agitated mind when you don't have saddha. You know.
But is this like Uddacha Kukkucha has something to do with like egotism?
No, it's agitation. Yeah. Uddacha in Sinhala Uddacha means your just ego concept, but that is not that. No. Yeah, Uddacha means always jumping up and down, like there's restlessness.
Restlessness, it's like in Sinhala, it means like Uddacha means like, oh, you know, they are like big people and okay, you know, we are just very small people, something like that, right?
Yeah,
Uddacha is right, but that's the Sinhala word, not coming from
Pali. Yeah, so, maybe that is a different interpretation, maybe. Yeah, right. It's a different one. So it's other hindrance, and the last one is by doubt. Okay, so that is also doubt.
Vichikicca
means you are restless. Again, restless. This one is also point. You don't have confidence. Doubt about yourself and doubt about others. Then you are not settled. You are not settled.
So sometimes doubt is a good thing because you think about something and
correct.
You're asking questions.
Yeah, definitely. But here doubt
but
is different.
What they mean.
Yeah, vichikicca so means this inherent kind of a continuous, you are not satisfied in whatever
maybe
you do.
Confidence? Is that the doubt?
Yeah, that's also part
you
of that.
You don't have confidence in what you...
This doubt is something like this, okay? Oh, I meditate, maybe I can make it, I can achieve, maybe I cannot achieve. Then your mind is restless, okay? And then you know, lot of people who go from teacher to teacher from seeking meditation advice are an example of this. They are not settled, okay? They believe, oh, they are, you know, some people who go from temple to temple like that, okay, this teacher may teach like that, or that teacher may teach like that, or this meditation will work, and that ritual will work like that. These are the people who have vichikicca. Because your mind is not settled, you don't have confidence in that. So you may, it is here. They are, in their whole life, they are searching, never finding. So Buddha always encouraged you to have doubt. Just remember that when Buddha said, you are right. Okay? You have doubted where the doubt should arise. Buddha accepted. That doubt and this doubt are different. Okay? That's as you said, that is a way to get a right answer to a question. Okay? So you have to doubt in that way, right? In other words, Buddha always said, never accept me, right? Say, don't take me because I say the same thing, right? But eventually you have to settle down. If you want to have, if you have wisdom, you have settled down. You have to settle down. Okay? Then your mind is not restless, not agitated. Okay? So, you know, your mind is settled means you live at present. Agitated mind is you're always either you are in the past or in the future.
So would this
doubt
be something like a...
You know, if you don't settle down, you don't go anywhere. So you get stuck. You move from, in Sinhala we call, right? In English it's translated. The bird who flies from Atengatata Painukurulla, right? What is that called? The bird who does not the bird who flies from, in the rain, the bird who that flies from branch to branch get wet and dies. But this bird should stay at one place, a secure place. Right? Then it's safe. Yeah. But that is what you call panya. What are the five things again?
Greed, ill will.
Yeah. They are the opposite, right? The greed, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. Yeah. The Pali terms are called abhijna, vyapada, tinamita, uddacha, kukucha, vichikicha. These five things. So that is the that's the last thing we are going to discuss. If you have any questions, you can ask. So what is the connection between this sutra and your social life, Buddhist social philosophy? This individual philosophy too, right? On the other hand. So your social, as a social human being, you have the right to progress, to achieve success, your material success and your spiritual success. Okay, so nobody have limitations on that. You need to, and also your contribution, your social contribution. Buddhist social philosophy means you become rich and wealthy, and you use it for yourself. So on one occasion, Buddha said, such a person is what you call asappurusa. The Buddha used very word asappurusa. Asappurusa means is a very very bad person, right? So you use everything for your own well-being, or you don't use it at all. Okay, thing is that you have to use it for your own well-being, and you have to use for the well-being of others. You know, one day a king Kosala came to the Buddha, and in midday, and he said the Buddha, Buddha asked, where are you going this time? Okay, so I am going to a certain person who has died. He has so much money. He didn't use any of them. He just went on a kind of a very old kind of a cart, and he didn't use anything. So millions of money. So is in his house. I'm going to bring all of them to my my palace. Okay, it's for me. Okay. And then Buddha said, "Oh, that person who died is an asappurusa." The word Buddha used, asappurusa. Satpurusa means a good person. Asappurusa means not a good person. So you have to use it for your own well-being and for the well-being of others. You need to find the balance. So this particular teaching shows that social philosophy. So your social contribution and for your own well-being.